Okay, we're going to hear with the Mishnah on the top of Ayin Amud Aleph. The Mishnah here is describing the Ben Sorero Moreh, what exactly he needs to do in order to be culpable. Meimatai Chayav, at what point does he become culpable? Meishochal Tantimar Basar, in the time that he eats a quantity worth of basar, the Gemara itself will ask, what is a tartimar? Vishteh chatzi log yayin hayitalki. And then he drinks a half log worth of, here, Italian wine, which means that italki is modifying the yayin. That's the way that Rashi reads it, which is that it's tov umulehu umamshich batrei. It's very high quality wine. It's really good wine. It's something that people get drawn after. In a sense, I would say almost an addiction to this. I think a lot of what we're going to see today relates to how we describe things today in terms of being addicted, whether it's alcoholism or it's drugs, things like that, that the Gemara seems to be indicating are going to pull this individual in a certain direction, that in order to fulfill his desires and his needs, he's going to have to maintain a certain lifestyle, and that lifestyle is going to require him to act in a certain way in order to gain the wherewithal to maintain that type of life. And so Yayin Italki is expensive, but high quality wine that people get drawn after and pulled after. That's one way to read it. The other way to read it is that the Italki is modifying the log, which is that it's a chatzi log Yayin Italki, that's a log Italki. If that's the case, then it's just telling you the nature of the measurement, what type of log that we're using, not what type of wine that we're using. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Mane Basar, the log Yayin. Rabbi Yossi says the amount of meat that needs to be consumed is a Mane, and a log, a full log worth of wine. Now he here doesn't add in the italki over here, but I guess that's assumed that he means the same yayin, or the same measurement, depending what you think italki was modifying. Achal b'chaburat mitzvah, if he participated when he was consuming this meat or this wine, it was done in a context of a mitzvah. Achal b'ibur achodesh, or he did it in the publicization of the chodesh being a leap month, 30-day month. Achal Maiser Sheni B'Yerushalayim, or in the context of eating Maiser Sheni Yerushalayim. This is a little difficult because in terms of Maiser Sheni is really only relevant with regards to Miyayin, not regards to Basar, except for the fact that when you get up to Yerushalayim, you can expend the money on Shlamim. And so that might be what the reference is to. Achal Nivelot Trefot Shkatzim V'Ramasim. If he ate any of these items, all these non-kosher items, then it does not qualify. Again, the Gemara will discuss this. The next part of the Mishnah is taken out by most of the Rishonim because of the problems associated with it, including Maiser Rishon Shaloni Tumato, Maiser Sheni Vegde Shaloni Ftu. Again, because of the problem or the basic issue of that it can only be referencing to Yayin and not to Basar, and therefore it doesn't necessarily make sense over here. Avchal Davar Shu Mitzvah V'Davar Shu Aveira. Consume something that was a mitzvah or an aveira, which again, the Gemara will have to define what those are. Achal kom achal, v'lo achal basar. He ate all types of foods, but not meat. Shata kol mashke, v'lo shata yayin. All types of drinks, but not wine. Einu naseh ben sorer umore. That doesn't qualify to make him into a ben sorer umore. Ad yochal basar v'yishte yayin. Until he consumes meat and wine. Shenemar, zolel v'sovei. That's what's the description in Parshat Kitetze of the Ben Sorer Umorer, that he is Zolel V'Soveh, that's what his parents describe him as. Even though we don't have proof to that, we have evidence of that from a Pasuk that says, Shenemar, Al Tehi B'Soveh Yayin, don't be amongst those wine bibers, B'Zolelei Basar Lamo, or those gluttonous meat eaters. So over here you see the word Soveh associated with wine, Zolel associated with Basar, and so therefore, when you describe the Ben Sorer Umorer, Zolel V'Soveh, that indicates that it means Basar V'Yayin. Again, it's only a Zecher the Devar, not an absolute proof to the item, because you could say that those are items that are subsumed under those terms. It doesn't mean they're exclusively used in that manner. Amar Rabbi Zeira, Tarti Marza Eni Yodea Mahu. So the Gemara is faced with the same issue that we are, which is you look in the Mishnah and mentions a term, Tarti Mar, which we're not familiar with. And the question is, what is it referencing to? What is the size or amount that it's speaking about? So the Gemara says the same thing. We don't know what this tartimar is. Ela mitok shekafal Rabbi Yossi b'yayin nimtza kofel afu basar. The way we're going to do it is on a relative ratio basis, which is that Rabbi Yossi seems to double the quantity of the Tanakama. The Tanakama said that you need a chatzi log of yayin. Rabbi Yossi comes along and says you need a full log of yayin. So now if I do the same thing by basar, Rabbi Yossi tells us you need a maneh basar. Then if you look at the word tartimar, you would assume that tartimar is half of whatever Rabbi Yossi is indicating. Nimsa tartimar chetzi maneh. So from there you would see that the tartimar is actually a half maneh of basar. Maneh is 100 zuz. It's a standard weight that was used in the time of the Gemara and for long periods of time. And so the chetzi maneh was a well-known measurement. So that's the amount of basar that he's going to have to consume. Chatzi maneh and chatzi lo gayayin according to the Tana Kama. Amar Rav Chanan bar Molda, Amar Rav Huna, Enu chayav, ad yikach basar bezol v'yochal. So he buys the meat cheaply and eats it. Yayin bezol, the wine cheaply, v'yishteh. And then he drinks it. Dichtiv, zolel v'soveh. Because of the zolel v'soveh, Rashi over here says the word zolel, lashon zol. That the word zolel, included in that word, is also the word zol. And Rashi again here says, why does it have to be yayin bezol? There's certain things that are beyond his capacity to raise the money in order to continue that type of lifestyle. We're worried again is that he's going to enter into a lifestyle that is grabbing or addictive in nature. And then he wants to maintain that lifestyle, he wants to maintain that addiction. So then he's going to start robbing people, killing people, trying to get the money in order to sustain that lifestyle. Chazal see the problem only where the item that he wants to buy is accessible with a reasonable amount of money. If the thing is way too expensive, he's just not going to be able to steal enough money or do enough to maintain that lifestyle. And so that's what it says here, that the yayin and the basar must be zol, meaning that it has to be of a reachable amount. It has to be an amount that he can afford after he's stolen money. If he steals money, he's still not even a quarter of the way there. It's just not going to be feasible for him to maintain that lifestyle. Okay, v'amar Rav Chanan bar Molda, amar Rav Huna, enu chayav, ad sheyochal basar chai, v'yishteh yayin chai. It's not going to be chayav until he eats raw meat, and then he drinks the wine undiluted. It says, ini, v'ar rabu Rav Yossi, d'armei tavayu, achal basar chai v'shata yayin chai, if he eats raw meat or undiluted wine, enu naseh ben sorer umore. That does not make him into a ben sorer umore. So Amar Ravina, you misunderstood. Yayin chai, mazig, velo mazig. Yayin chai doesn't mean literally a wine that is undiluted. It means a wine that is partially diluted. It's not diluted as far as normal people would dilute it, only partially diluted. Basar chai, bashil, velo bashil. And again, the meat that is raw doesn't mean literally raw. Means partially cooked, not fully cooked. Kebasar kiba de achle ganve. Like the meat of the kiba that the thieves eat. And Rashi over here says that the basar kiba is something that is put on the coals. It's roasted meat that is done quickly. And the reason being that they are thieves. This is similar to the terminology that's used in the Gemara and Shabbat with regards to lightly cooked meat is kemachal ben drusai. Ben drusai was a well-known criminal or thief, and they don't have time to cook their meat because the authorities are chasing them down or people are looking for them. So they cook things quickly because they're always in a rush to eat their meat and get out of there or do whatever they have to do and get out of there. So because of that, they don't fully cook their meat. And that's what Rashi is describing over here, that it was put on the coals quickly and then they ate it. And the Rashi says, Lefi, shemitok shu ganav, ose beseter ein lo shahut. Since he's a ganav doing things undercover, he doesn't have time to wait around for everything to cook fully. So that's one way to explain it. The other way to explain basar kiba is that it's the meat that's found at the wine stores. So there are certain stores that sell meat because they are butchers and they are suppliers of meat. There are also wine stores that provide meat, not because they are sellers of meat, but they'll be an addition to the wine that the people are drinking, just as a way to mitigate the sharpness of the wine. They have some basar there for you to eat along with it. So they have some crackers, they have some nuts, something like that. So they had basar. Kiba was this type of meat. It wasn't high quality meat, but just meat that was used to offset the wine that they were drinking. So again, here you see this idea that the wine and the meat that he's eating is eaten in a certain way, which in indicative of a lifestyle that is being taken up, which includes the wine being much stronger than normal. He's not just drinking wine. He's drinking wine where it's not fully diluted in a manner that is much more grabbing, alcoholic, and has addictive nature to it. And the basar as well. He's eating it like a glutton. He's eating it in a way that's not fully cooked. He doesn't have patience. He's acting like a lifestyle of a ganav. Rabbi Rav Yosef, Tamir Tavayu, both Rabbi Rav Yosef say, Achal Basar Meliach, if he eats salted meat, Shatai Yayin Migito, or he drinks wine out of the press, Enunaseh Ben Sorero Moreh. That doesn't qualify to make him into a Ben Sorero Moreh. Once again, this mitigates the quality and the power of the item. Salted meat is not high quality meat. It's not meat that is fresh and not the type of meat that draws a person in. That is meat that's been salted and stored on the shelf. It's like a beef jerky of sorts. And that isn't something that's going to draw the person in or it's going to grab the individual. Same with grape juice versus drinking wine. Grape juice is not the type of thing that's really going to get you stuck or addicted or something that the person's going to chase after. Drinking wine, meaning that stuff that's fresh off the press that has yet to ferment. It's not all dumb. We have a Mishnah with regards to Tisha B'Av. Erev Tisha B'Av lo yuchal adam shnei tavshilin. Erev Tisha B'Av, a person may not eat two cooked items. Lo yuchal basar v'lo yishtei yayin. May not eat meat, and he may not drink wine. This is at the Suda Mafseket. This is the only din, or me'ikar adin, the only issue with regards to coming into Tisha B'Av. The restriction against eating meat and wine and shnei tavshilin is at the Suda Mafseket. The minog was to extend it beyond that. Minog is first of all an Erev Tisha B'Av, then to the Shua Shechalbo Tisha B'Av, and then the Ashkenazim took it even back to Rosh Chodesh Av. So this is the Ikar Adin in the Mishnah that's found in Tanit, the Tana. And we have Raita that helped us or explicated on this. Avalochelu basar meliach v'shotei yayin migito. What is not under this rubric is salted meat and wine that comes out of the gat, meaning grape juice. So now, here you have this separation between the two items, which says that basar v'yayin are restricted, basar meliach and yayin migito do not qualify as basar and yayin. That's what's said by Tisha B'Av. Similarly, over here, Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef are saying the basar and yayin that is required for the ben sorer moreh, basar meliach and yayin migito do not qualify. Now, basar meliach ad kamo, there by Tisha B'Av, it says what is considered to be salted meat. Amar Rabbi Chanina Bar Kahana calls manchu kishlamim. Once it reaches the point of being like a shlamim. A shlamim is eaten for shnei yamim v'layla echad. It's eaten for 2 days and one night in between. So, in the first 2 days, it's considered to be meat that is fresh. Or meat that can still be eaten because of its freshness. After that point, if you don't salt the meat in order to store it, then the meat will start to deteriorate and go bad. This is in a period of time where there's no refrigeration. So you shecht an animal, you gotta eat the meat within a certain period of time, otherwise the quality drops significantly or starts to go bad. The only way to prevent it from going bad is to salt it heavily, so that's the equivalent of their refrigeration, and there are days to heavily salt the meat. But that also is going to take away from the flavor of the meat, and it's going to change it from meat that is, call it delicious, meat that is grabbing in terms of the appetite for it and the scrumptiousness of the meat. But it is food still, it's still meat, but it's not meat in the sense of meat of shlamim, or meat that we would classify as meat. But yayin migito, and the same thing with grape juice. Yayin migito ad kama, and what is it considered to be grape juice, or wine out of the press, rather than wine? Kozmanju toses. As long as it's still bubbling, as long as it's still fermenting in the vat, that's considered to be yayin migito, and not full-fledged wine. Vat anya yayin toses, enbo mishum giloi. That when the wine is bubbling or it's fermenting, it doesn't have a din of giloy, which means that if it's left exposed, we don't expect the snake to come and eat from it and deposit its venom in there. Becometh tisitzato, and how long is that bubbling or that fermenting? Shlosha yamim, that is 3 days. Hacha mai, what's the case by the ben sorer moreh? So we established the facts with regards to the meat and the wine on Erev Tisha B'Av. Over there we told you that meat is qualified as meat in the first 2 days. By the third day already, it's not classified as meat, it's classified as basar meliach, because either it's going bad, or you've salted it, and therefore it's no longer classified as meat. With wine, we said kozmanju toseis, and that toseis, we said, was limited to 3 days. So in the first 3 days, after it's pressed, then it's considered to be grape juice and not wine, or not qualified as wine. After that point in time, it's already qualified as wine. Over here, by the ben sorer moreh, is at the same threshold that we would use. Hata mishum simcha hu, kozmanju kishlamim, nami ipe simcha. The issue by Erev Tisha B'Av is that the basar brings about simcha. And it's a period of time that is the opposite of simcha. It's a time of avelut. So it would be incongruous with the avelut of that point of Sudam of Seket to have shlamim or to have meat that is meat of simcha, which is meat that is 2 days old. Over here, it's because he's going to be drawn after it, addicted to it. And any amount beyond being really fresh will not draw him in. So here the Gemara makes a distinction, which is, over there the issue is simcha. Fresh meat is good for 2 days, and that brings around simcha. After that point in time, eat basar meliach, or eat the meat after that point in time when it's going bad, there you would not have that simcha. Over here, you're after a different issue, which is that the time that it's mimshach, it draws you in, it pulls you. It's really good meat, fresh meat. You speak about really fresh meat. That means meat that was just shechted, put on the barbecue. Something that's really smells great and is appetizing. It's something that you're going to be addicted to. And Rashi says, Mishavar laila achad, mefig tamo v'lo chashuv. Once you pass the first night, then it's already done. You know that fresh means literally fresh. Otherwise, if he's waiting around a day or two to eat his meat, that's not something where he's just addicted. He needs to eat it right away. I would say that a similar thing happens in the Haftorah that we read a part of on Rosh Hashanah by the case of the Bnei Eli. The Bnei Eli, when they go to take the meat from the korbanot of the people bringing the korbanot, they stick their fork in there while it's still half raw and pull it out from the cauldron. And the people say to them, why don't you just wait until it's cooked, fully cooked? Somebody who thinks it's their right and just wants the meat, they don't wait until it's fully cooked. They go in there, stick their fork in it, and eat it right away. They want the fresh meat while it's still half cooked and half raw. So that's the type of meat that we're speaking about here, and it wouldn't qualify. Now, statement of the Gemara here is unclear. The Gemara is either making a statement, which is, that's true by Tisha B'Av. Over here we have a different qualification, and this is the qualification. Or is the Gemara posing it as a question that does not answer? It's a rhetorical question and it doesn't answer the question. That obviously would have enough gemina as to what you think the conclusion of the Gemara is here. Do you think the Gemara is saying, yes, by the case of Tisha B'Av, Simcha's issue, that's why the 3 days, 2 and 3 days are the threshold, versus over here where it's Mimshach and it'll be a different, that's a statement. Or maybe the Gemara is saying, maybe you should think about this differently than there, not making a statement of fact, but rather posing it as a question. It's unclear from the Gemara which way it's going, although Rashi seems to indicate that it's a definitive statement of the Gemara, but you could just have easily read the Gemara's statement here as a question rather than a statement. That affects the next thing. V'yayin ad mem yom. And wine for 40 days. So now, that yayin ad mem yom, is that a continuation of him making a statement of fact? That yayin is up to 40 days is not considered to be wine? And that's it, period. Just like we said before, basar after the first night is not considered to be basar for ben tzor u'moreh. And they're giving you a different threshold. Or are they suggesting maybe yayin should be ad mem yom? Because that's the type of stuff that is mamshich. Again, the idea that once it gets much more fermented and it's alcoholic in nature, that's the type of wine that's going to draw a person. Until that point in time, a person drinking grape juice is not going to become addicted to that. Or even partially fermented wine. That's not the type of item that draws a person in. So again, either it's a statement of fact, which seems to be the way Rashi's reading it, or it's a question that the Gemara is posing that it does not answer. Amar Rav Chanan, lo nivra yayin be'olam, ela nachem avilim, ulishalem schar l'rishayim. The only purpose of wine in this world is in order to placate, comfort those that are despondent, those that are in mourning, as well as to pay back the rishayim in this world. Shenamar, tnu shechar l'uveid, v'yayin l'marei nefesh. So over here, the way they're translating uveid is the one who's going to be lost. The rasha, who's going to lose his world to come, then you give him, shechar, give him the intoxicating drink, the oveid, because he's going to be lost, and therefore you get rid of him, give him all the goodies in this world, so that he has nothing left in the next world. Then v'yayin, the marei nefesh, wine, for those that are despondent, that refers to the avel, in order to mitigate their pain, in order to assuage or soothe the feelings that they have, they drink wine. And again, that was the practice. We know that from the Gemara in Brachot, we know that from other instances in the Gemara, that there was a practice to drink 10 kosot with regards to an avel, in order, again, to take away from them the sting of the avelut. They were mevatel to practice, the Gemara in Brachot tells us, because the people were getting drunk. They weren't just using it in order to numb or take the edge off the feelings of the individual, they ended up getting fully drunk, and it was inappropriate, obviously, in avelut, so they were mevatel to practice. But that's what Rav Hanan is saying over here. That's the purpose of wine. Amar Rav Yitzchak, my dichtiv, what is meant by the pasuk, altere yayin kit adam, don't see the wine when it turns red. So in the same perek of altere b'suvei yayin b'suvei basar lamo, it says, altere yayin kit adam, ki itein b'kiseino yitalech b'meisharim. Altere yayin shema'adim p'neim shel rishayim b'olam hazeh, u'malbim p'neim l'olam haba. Don't be of those drinkers of wine, because that is for the rishayim, who drink the wine in this world and their faces turn red from the consumption of the alcohol, but that will leave their faces white in Olam Haba, which means that they're going to enjoy this world, but when it comes to Olam Haba, they're going to be embarrassed or they're going to lack color there because they're going to be pale from the fact that they're not getting any Olam Haba. Rav Amar, Al Tereh Yayin Kit Adam, Al Tereh Yayin Shachrito Dam. Don't be involved with wine or consume wine because in the end it always ends up in blood. That is the problem of alcoholism, which is that a person who gets drawn into wine or comes into wine, eventually, in order to maintain the habit, there's going to be blood spilled. They're going to have to do things that they otherwise wouldn't have done in order to maintain their alcoholic needs. And therefore, he's either going to kill in order to get his wine or end up in the wrong crowd and be killed because of the wine that he wants to consume. Ravana Ramikdiv Ti Rash Vikrina and Ti Rosh. So now here you have a word. We read it as a Ti Rosh. It means grapes or grape juice or wine. So Zacha Naserosh. If a person's able to manage their alcohol, then he becomes great or a leader. Lo Zacha, if he's unable to manage his alcohol, Naserash. He's made impoverished by the alcohol, because again, the alcoholic necessity drives him to poverty because he's going to spend all of his money on the alcohol. Rabba Ramik Pasuk says, Yayin yismach levav enosh, tiv, yishmach, bikarin an yismach. So here, pleshin in the sin, it's unclear when you don't have nikudot. So here, Rabba says, zocha misamcho. If he's zoche, it makes him happy. Lo zacha mishamemehu. If he's not zoche, then it ruins him. It leaves him in a terrible state. Shameim, in destruction. This idea that wine is not a neutral type of item. Wine has positive aspects to it, has negative aspects to it. How it's managed will impact the individual, how it turns out for them. Ainu dama rova, and that's what Rova says. Chamra v'reichani pikhim. That the wine and the good smelling items, pikhim, they made me into somebody who was very bright, or they made me into someone who was open and able to succeed. So he sees in the wine this ability to open up the individual, to make them much more successful. But there are pitfalls in that wine, or pitfalls in drinking the alcohol, which is, just as an aside, which is a big problem with alcohol in general, which is that alcohol for most people is something that they can manage, they can drink, and not abuse or have problems with it. But unfortunately, there is 5 to 10% of the population where they have a predisposition to becoming alcoholic. And if they are exposed to alcohol, then it basically takes them and they are unable to break away from it and they become addicted to it. And then it ruins their lives, very much like what is being described over here, where they end up stealing money, they end up impoverished, they end up expending everything they have, they end up in dumb, in difficult situations. All of these things happen, and unfortunately many times the people end up dying before they're able to cure themselves of the alcoholic problem, because they don't hit bottom before something terrible happens to them. That's what's being described here. The Gemara doesn't know it in a statistical sense, but they're seeing what's happening. Wine is a mainstay. It is a staple product in terms of drink in their day because they don't have refrigeration. So the only two things you can drink are water and items that have shelf life. The only things that have shelf life are alcoholic in nature, which means beer and wine. Those are the only things that you can keep around, nothing else. Today we have refrigerations. We have all sorts of other types of drinks besides just alcohol and water. But that means that alcohol is a staple product, and they see the result of people drinking alcohol, meaning that the same statistics that we know today about those percentage of the population that can't manage it, they're having the same issue in their day, especially since alcohol is a staple product and everybody's drinking it at every meal. And so it's going to affect certain individuals. So for most people, it leaves them in a state where they're able to function and to even maybe function even better. It takes away some of the inhibitions that they have, takes away some of the other issues that allows them to function even better. But for some people, it is dangerous, and it grabs them, it brings them to an addiction, which they can't manage, and therefore leaves them in a terrible state, and the state of alcoholism, and that's why generally alcoholism was, or alcohol in general, was viewed very negatively. And obviously, because of the dangers and the negative parts that are associated with it, and we have to be sensitive to that, many people are not affected by this, but there are people that are, and that the majority has to be aware for the minority, because the dangers are so great for that minority who are grabbed by alcohol, that the majority in some ways has to withhold themselves at the expense of losing out on certain things and certain benefits, because the dangers for those that are in that minority are so great, are life-threatening. It's really pikuach nefesh, that we have to really consider that when we drink casually or drink in circumstances where people become exposed to alcohol and unfortunately leaves them in a terrible state. And it's well recorded, well documented now that most people who get into these positions start out drinking just in a casual sense or a casual way, where it was available at a kiddush, it was available at somebody's house, and then it just deteriorates from there. And again, in that same perek in Mishlei, it says, the mi oi, the mi avoi, the mi midyanim, the mi siach, the mi pitzayim chinam, the mi chalilut einayim, the mi acharim alayayin, the baim lachor mimsach. So these are the people who have all these issues, are the individuals who stay late with the wine, those that gather to drain the cups or the goblets. Although Rashi says over here, it's one who's looking for good wine, those that are searching for the good cups of wine or the good types of wine. The Gemara says, Kiyatar Avdimi, Amar, Amri B'marova. They say in Eretz Yisrael, Hai Kram, Manda Dorish Lemi Reisha the Seife, the one who darshens it straight through the way that it's read chronologically, then Midrash, that's a good way to darshen it. Niseife the Reisha, Midrash. And so too, if you darshen it backwards, that is also a good way to darshen it. So now, Rashi explains for us, we'll go through each of these items. Oi, difficulties, woes, avoy, Lashon Tzaka, that is calling out, the kamo, bye bye, that we just saw earlier in the Gemara over there, means woe woe. Sichi is, as Rashi says here, tzari, pain. So in essence, who cries out woe? Who cries out alas? Who has quarrels? Who has complaints? Who has needless injuries? And who has redness of the eyes or bloodshot eyes? So the mi kolele, who do all these problems that were mentioned in the pasuk, who do they belong to? All these will be manifest. L'machrim alayayin. So those people that stay late with the wine, lachkor mi masak shokukrim leichan ayayin tov. They're always looking for the best place to get wine, the best place to get alcohol. Those people are going to be subject to all of these things. If you do it the other way around, from the end to the beginning, so the way that you can darshan it is this the problem that is generated by the yayin? That's the simple way to read the pasuk. All these problems, all these difficulties will be manifest in those that drink heavily, that stay late for the wine and are always searching for the best wine. All of these issues will be their issues. That's one. The other way to do it is, who is alcohol appropriate for? People who are subject to these problems. Who are those that have woes? Those are the avilim. Who are those that have altercations and quarrels with other people? Those are the rishayim. So they should drink wine, as we said before, in order to be nitrad min olam, to take away their olam haba and take their olam hazeh. Those individuals who are heavy from not having to work and not having to do anything, for them, they can drink wine because they have no obligations. They have nothing that is waiting for them. So that's either a description of who should be drinking wine, or the one who drinks wine will have these problems or have these issues. So those are the two ways to darshan the pasuk. Darish obar glila, yugimo vavin nemru b'yayin. There are 13 vavs that are said by wine. The truth is that they're not really after the vavs. They're actually the word vav yud. Because vav yud means vai or woe. So there are 13 woes that are said about yayin. And he points out here that the wine that Noach gets involved with has this character trait to it. And that is the psukim after Noach exits the teva, He decides he wants to plant the vine. And from that, he ends up getting drunk and putting himself in a difficulty. In the pasuk, it says, Vayachel Noach ish adama, Vayita karem. So in that pasuk, you have the vav yud in Vayachel. And then Vayita, you have another vav yud, is number two. Then in the subsequent pasuk, Vayesh t'min ayayin, Vayishkar, Vayitgal, Bo'ohalo. So again here, vav yud, the third one is Vayesht, Vayishkar, which is number four, Vayitgal is number five, then Vayar, Chamavi Kananet Ervat Avi, Vayaged Lishnei Achav Bachutz. Vayar is number six, Ervat Avi, Vayaged is number seven, is another vav yud, Lishnei Achav Bachutz. Vayikach Shem Vayechet Et Simla Vesimo Al Shechem Shneem, Vayachu Achoranit, Vayachasu Et Ervat Aviem, Upneem Achoranit, Ervat Aviem Lo Ra'o. So again, here you have Vayaged is number seven, Vayikach is number eight, Vayasimu is number nine, Vayochu Achoranit is number 10, Vayichasu is number 11, and then you have the final pasuk, which is Vayikatz Yenoach Miyeno, Vayedat Kol Asher Asah Lo Bno Hakatan. So again, Vayikatz is number 12, and Vayeda is number 13. The Vav Yud that is mentioned there 13 times over the stretch of those 3-4 psukim, and that's what he's saying. There are 13 woes or vay that are said are associated with Yayin. Now, they point out that there is actually one more in there. Vayikach Shem Vayofet. And so over there you also have another Vav Yud. Tosfot says, Lo kochashi Vayofet lefishu Shem. Because it's a name of a person. You can't say that the Vav Yud is going to be the word Vay, because it's part of a name. Others suggest that the problem there is that it is a Kamatz on Vayofet instead of a Patach. That's what the Marsha suggests, that all the other ones are Patachs under the Vav. Here it's a Kamatz under the Vav, which indicates it's a different type of formulation. Therefore, it doesn't count. So now Gemara goes on to explain what exactly went wrong over here with regards to what Acham did to his father. Sukkim never explained what happened over here. All it says is that Vayar Cham Avi Kanan Eter Vat Aviv. That's all it says. It doesn't describe to you what happened. It just tells his brothers about it. And then when Noach wakes up, it says Vayikatz Noach Beyeno Vayedat Kol Asher Asah Lo Bno Hakatan. And then he knows what his youngest son did to him. And then he says Vayomer Arur Kanan Eved Avdim Yel Acham, and he curses him severely. So obviously something happened in there, but the Torah doesn't tell us exactly what happened. And that's what the Gemara is discussing here. One of them says that they castrated him. And the other one says that he had bi'ah with him. Since Cham prevented Noach from having a fourth child by castrating him, he had three children, but he could no longer have any other children. So too, Noach curses Cham with his fourth child. And that's why he curses Canaan, even though that's not the first child of Cham, and it's not anything to do with Cham at all. It's one of his children. Why did he curse his fourth child? Because Midah Keneged Midah, because already was born Cush, Mitzrayim, and Put, and then Canaan. Canaan was the fourth child, so that would equal out. If you didn't allow me for a fourth child, so too your fourth child will be cursed. That's one way to view it. And Tosfot says over here, the reason that he didn't curse Cham directly is because Noach and his children had received a brocha from Hashem. And therefore the klala of Noach would not take effect, so he went after his children rather than after him himself, because Mishi Baruch is not subject to the klala. And so therefore he was Kilel, it's Ben, and then he picked the fourth child because of the Midah, Keneged Midah aspect of it. The other Mandamar says that it was revolt, that he had Bi'ah with him. Gamar Vayar Vayar. It's a Gezeirah Shava, got a Gezeirah Shava. It says, K'tiv Ocha Vayar Cham Avi Kanan Eter Vat Aviv. Over here it says he saw his father's nakedness. K'tiv Atam Vayar Utashchem Ben Chamor. And so too over there, by the rape of Dina, it also uses the term Vayar, indicative of taking or forcing someone to have Bi'ah against their will. Over here, Noach was drunk, so he was unaware, and Cham did this. Whereas over there, by the case of Shechem ben Chamor, he grabs Dina and takes her for himself. So he goes, Var Vayar Vayar. Vayar is indicative of something that leads into a sexual misdemeanor. The truth is that the pasuk most likely is because of Rat Ervat Aviv, which you know means in the Vayikra that we talk about illicit relations through Riat Erva. And so that terminology already has a sexual connotation to it, or dealing with the erva, and that probably leads the Gemara in that direction. So then it looks for something else too. Vayar Vayar already gives it a little more power to that. But then it explains what happened. According to one who said he castrated him, it makes sense that he cursed Canaan, who was his fourth child, because he caused him to not have a fourth child. Then why did he curse Canaan if he had a homosexual bi'ah with him? Why should that impact his fourth child? Why does he just curse him straight out? Ham, why is he cursing Canaan? Ha, va, havai. Both were true. Not only did he have bi'ah with him, that he also castrated him. I mean, that there wasn't just one thing. Or, maybe the bi'ah itself caused the castration, and therefore that's why the revi'i is associated with him. So this is what we saw at the beginning of the Pasuk, that Noach went out and began to be a man of the earth, and then he planted a vineyard. So we know that the drush of Chazal, Vayachel, comes to the word chulim, that he made himself chulin, he profaned himself by planting this. Why is that? Amar Chisam, Rav Ukva, Amri Lamar Ukva, Amar Rav Yizakai, Amar Yekosh Baruch Noach. Noach lo yelach ala lameid me Adam HaRishon, Shelo garam lo ela yayin. Didn't you learn from Adam HaRishon already that wine can then lead you down a path that is not good? Which is, Ish Adama, Ish Shenotzar Mi Adama. The man that came out of the ground, or out of the fire arets, as the Marsha explains it, that's what it's meant by the Vayechel Noach, Ish Adama, Kosh Baruch was chastising Noach for the fact that he didn't learn from Adam HaRishon. Adam HaRishon ended up doing the wrong thing because of wine, and now you just copied it and did the exact same thing? This is like the one who says that the eighth dat ovira was actually a grapevine. The vine or the tree that Adam HaRishon partook of was a grapevine, and it was the grapes that led him astray. I mean, it was the drinking of the wine or the possibility of making it to wine. There's nothing that brings more difficulty and pain and woe to man like wine. And so he associates the two. If the sin of Adam HaRishon brought that difficulty upon man, then it makes sense that it must have been the item that caused that difficulty for man. Just a matter of association. There's no proof from that. Just a logical association. If wine is the cause of so much pain, and the sin of Adam HaRishon is the cause of so much pain, must be some connection between them. That means that Adam HaRishon ate from the geffen. Rabbi Omer Chitahaya. Rabbi Yehuda says it was actually wheat. Shena tinok yodeh likro abba v'ima ad shitom tam degan. The child doesn't start to speak, doesn't yodeya dat, has dat, until he tastes from the grains. I mean, that until he reaches an age where he starts to eat solids and he starts to eat grains, that's when he has dat. And that's the Eitz HaDa'at Tovira. Problem with this, obviously, is that Chita is not necessarily an Eitz. Here we're speaking about an Eitz, and speaking about Chita. Chita is a grain, not an Eitz. So you can see here on the side, the Masorah Shas already brings, Vekarle Eitz HaShem Atid. It's called a tree because of the future, Shechita Titamer Kedekel, when wheat will grow like the palm trees. That's what he says is brought in the Ein Yaakov. And he says, look, the Tosafot and Shabbat also, who discusses this, remember that Chita and Tzora are also amongst the Shivat Aminim. And the Shivat Aminim are also known as Bikurim. So you bring up the first fruits to Yerushalayim, Bikurim, included in that is Chita v'Tzora. So you see that there is an association between fruits and Chita, and therefore maybe Eitz is an appropriate title for Chita, even though normally we wouldn't use it that way. Rabbi Nechemiah Amar Te'ena Haya. It was a Te'ena, Shebedavar Shekil Golobo Nitkano. That the item that he messed up with allowed him to be rectified. Shenemar, Veitru Alei Teina. Because he tied around, they girded himself with the leaves of the Teina, of the fig tree. So the fig leaf was loincloth that he put on afterwards because he was embarrassed that he was naked. When Hashem approaches him there, he says, why are you hiding? He says, I'm hiding because I'm embarrassed of the fact that I'm naked. So that nakedness causes him to need something to cover his erva, and they use the leaves from the fig tree. Rashi over here says, or brings a principle which the Gemara will also discuss later. It's an interesting usage because it does have impact in the terms of what we say in Nachem on Tisha B'Av, which is Rashi says over here, Midada Kodesh Baruch Hu, Bizmel Shu Makebo Hu Mirapeh. And the same weapon that is used to cause the damage, he causes the healing. Nes betoch nes. It's a miracle and a miracle. The weapon of destruction, the weapon of wounding, is also the utensil of cure. That's what he says. Kemo. The example he brings is, Vayetzeit eish bitzion. says that God kindled a fire in Sion, meaning that he caused the Beit HaMikdash to be burnt down. That's an Eicha. Uchtev in Zechariah, it says, L'atid lavo, v'ani ayeh la ne'um Hashem chumat esh saviv. I'll be like a fire, a wall of fire that comes afterwards that will rebuild Yerushalayim and cause the rebuilding and the reinstating of Yerushalayim and the Beit HaMikdash. So Rashi says, and that's what we say in Nachem on Tisha B'Av, that Be'esh, it was destroyed, or Be'esh Nivneh, and it will be rebuilt Be'esh, which is indicative of a view, which is very common amongst the Rishonim, that the Beit HaMikdash Shlishi will be miraculous in nature, and the same way that it went up in flames, it's going to come down in flames, min HaShamayim. So that the Beit HaMikdash Shlishi will come from the Shamayim and not come from man-made. It happens to be a machloket as sugyot in Shas, as to whether it is going to come down min HaShamayim Be'esh, or whether it's simply going to be built by man. The Gemara discusses it with regards to the Omer, when the Omer needs to be brought, and when does Chadash become Mutar, and whether we have to worry about the subsequent year, about what people are going to do in the subsequent year if you do something this year. And the Gemara there speaks about, is it ever going to happen that the Mashiach is going to come on Erev Pesach, on Pesach itself, on Shabbat? In that discussion, the Gemara goes in two different directions, and the two sugyot that end in different directions are really discussing this issue. But Rashi brings that example of the Beit HaMikdash Shlishi as being something that the same, the vehicle of the destruction was also the vehicle of the cure, which is that the fire that destroyed the Beit HaMikdash will be the fire that returns the Mikdash and Yerushalayim. Again, hanging it on a miraculous building of the third Beit HaMikdash. And that seemingly is what we say in Nachem. That's the position that we subscribe to, and these are the psukim and the wording that we use in Nachem. Now, Tosafot disagrees with Rashi and says Rashi got it mixed up over here, that is not what is meant by the Gemara, but rather the Gemara means something along the lines of a Midrash. Which is, the Midrash over here tells us that there was once a prince who had an affair with one of the Shpachot. When the Melech gets word of that, he throws him out of the palace and says, what are you consorting with the maidservants for? So then the prince is going around town knocking on all the doors of the Shpachot and nobody wants to let him in. He was just thrown out of the palace. The only one who lets him in is the Shifcha who he had consorted with. And so that's what Tosfot says. That is the Mashal, and that's what's meant by the Gemara over here. Here Adam HaRishon sinned, and now he wants help. So he goes around to all the trees, he's trying to get leaves, he's trying to get something that will cover him. None of the trees are willing to give him because he sinned. The only tree willing to give him is the tree that he sinned with, which is the Te'ena. And that's how you know that he ate from a Te'ena, because the Te'ena offers up its leaves, because it's the one that causes the problem, so it's also the one that allows him to come in or brings comfort to him. As opposed to Rashi, who says that the cure comes from the punishment, Tosafot says that's not what happened over here. The punishment wasn't God was punishing him with the Te'ena, it was the eating of the Te'ena that caused the problem. And therefore, the Te'ena is the only one to offer him a solution to the problem, because the Te'ena was the cause of the problem. And that's how Tosafot terms it, and that's how we know that it was the Te'ena. And now the Gemara quotes the Pasuk, Divrei Limuel Melech. It says in Mishlei, it's about Shlomo Melech. These are the words of Nimuel, the king. Divrei Limuel Melech, Masa She Yisratu Imo. It's a prophecy that his mother imposed on him, or who was chastised by his mother. Am Rabbi Yochanan Mishim Rabbi Shim Bayochai, Lameid, Shekafato Imo Alamud Vamralo. His mother tied him up to the whipping post and said to him, Mabri, Umar bar bitni, Umei bar nidarai. That's the second pasuk in that final parak in Mishlei. And now the Gemara wants to understand what was Batsheva saying to Shlomo HaMelech when she meant, Mabri, mar bar bitni, me bar nidarai. Mabri, akol yudim shavicha yirei shemayim abba. Everybody knows that your father is a big tzaddik. David HaMelech is a big tzaddik. Akshav yomru, imo garmalo. Now they're going to say that his mother caused him this difficulty. Shlomo HaMelech, if you don't behave, and you get caught up in wine and all these bad things, they're only going to blame it on me, but Sheva, they're not going to blame it on David. David's a well-known tzaddik. So if anything goes wrong, you know who they're going to come to, it's going to be me. So she's saying, my son, you can't do this because it's going to reflect on me. Umar bar bitni, kol nashim shel beit avicha, all the women in the palace of the king, kevan shemit abrot, once they became pregnant, Shuv einan ro'ot pnei ha-melech. They don't visit the king anymore. They don't spend time with the king. Vani dachakti v'nichnasti. I pushed my way in and I got there. Kadesh Sheli ben Mizurazu Meluban. So that I have a son who is of a beautiful nature and strong and has alacrity because of what I did. Here, this Gemara here is referencing to a Mamar Chazal that's actually found in the Gemara Nidah, which is the engaging in intercourse when a woman is pregnant has impact both on the baby and on the mother. And there the Gemara goes through the different trimesters. It says in the first trimester, it's bad for the mother and bad for the baby. In the second trimester, it's good for the baby, bad for the mother. In the third trimester, it's good for the mother and the baby. So there the Gemara encourages intercourse during the time of pregnancy. The Gemara is obviously playing, and this is very common in their time, with is that the mizuraz umluban, that the semen that goes into the woman while she's pregnant, then it's not wasted, it goes to help the child out, or it goes to help the baby, strengthen the baby, whiten the baby. So that's the idea here, that Batsheva is saying, I made all these efforts to make you into who you are today. I didn't let the king just dismiss me and leave me while I was pregnant. I pushed back in and I said, I want to have time with the king because I want my child to be the best he can be. Umar bar nidarai, kol hashim shebeit avicha yinodrot, yeli ben hagun lemalchut. They'd always take a nether saying, let me have a child who'll be a prince, who'll be the future king. Vanita darti v'amarti, and I said, yehli ben zariz umumula b'torah v'agun l'niviyut. I said, I want a child who is full of Torah, and who is ra'oi to get nivuah from Hashem, that God will speak to him. So she says, my goals were different than the other women. So now I'm not going to put up with this. And then it continues in that same perek, in Pasuk Gimel, it says, al titein l'nashim chedecha, udrachecha l'amchot melachin, and then the fourth, it says, al l'melachim l'moel, al l'melachim shtoyayin, ulroznim eishechar. Cause peni shtev ishkach mechukak, ishened din kol bnei oni. Al l'melachim l'moel, al l'melachim shtoyayin. So again here, not for the kings, l'moel. L'moel refers to like l'moel before the name of the king. Al melachim shtoyayin. It's not proper or inappropriate for the kings and here to drink wine. Al melachim amar lo malachaitza melachim shoshotim yayin mishtakrin. Why do you hang out with the kings that are drinking wine and getting drunk? Ve'omrim lama lanu kel. And then they afterwards say, what do we need God for? We're running the world. What do we need God for? Number one. Ulerosnim eishechar. And for the princes, the intoxicating things are inappropriate or should not be there. To the one who has been revealed all the secrets of the world, you're going to drink wine and get drunk? The one that all the princes of the world come to your door to get advice and to seek your counsel, he's going to drink wine and get drunk? And then it has, right after that, the pasuk that we saw earlier, which is, so wine and intoxicating beverages belong to those individuals and not to the kings and not to the princes. Because if they do drink, they'll forget what has been ordained and they will change the din of Kol Bnei Oni. They will oppress or be unjust to those that are impoverished, to those that are poor. In essence, they will forget about God. And that's what Batsheva is pointing out to Shlomo HaMelech. Because the wine, ishtev, ishkach risho, v'amalolo yiskarod. That those that are impoverished, those that are in difficult situations, they should drink and forget their circumstances and put their troubles or their difficulties out of mind. But that's not for the king and that's not appropriate for the one of your stature. So don't get involved with wine, don't get involved in intoxicating beverages so that you do what is right and proper. Which is p'tach picha li'ilayim el din kol b'nei chalov p'tach picha shvat tzedek v'din ani ve'evyon. That do that which is just and adjudicate properly and bring justice to your kingdom. Do that which is right, and then afterwards it launches into the final part of Mishlei, which is Eshet Chayil. Which the way Chazal are darshaning would be a reflection on his mother Batsheva for all that she had done for Shlomo HaMelech. Amrav Yitzhak minayin shechazar Shlomo v'odeh li'imo. How do we know that Shlomo HaMelech backed away and admitted to his mother, meaning that he agreed with his mother's criticism, and then withheld himself from wine? Tichtei, because the pasuk says in Mishlei, it's actually in the previous parak, which is interesting, it's in the parak before, the parak that we've been quoting until now, Tichtei, ki ba'ar anochei me'ish. I am a brutish individual, I have boorish behavior. V'lo binata dam li, and I do not have the understanding of man. Ki ba'ar anochi me'ish minoach. What does it mean that I am boorish from an individual? That means minoach. Dichtiv, v'yachel noach ish adama. V'lo binata dam li, and I didn't have the understanding of man. Ze adam arishon. That is adam arishon. Again, referencing to the agarata that we began with, which is Noach and Adam Rishon tripped up on the same thing. Noach got drunk, and that caused him a problem. Vayachel Isha Dama. Isha Dama, we said, references back to Adam Rishon, that you, Noach, should have learned from Adam Rishon that wine is bad. And the same thing over here. Shlomo Melech is saying that I am boorish, I am brutish of an individual because I didn't pay heed to what happened to Noach, and I didn't pay heed to what happened to Adam Rishon. And his mother gets on top of him and says, get your act together, you better behave. The Midrashim also, you should know, associate this with Bat Paro, because the Midrashim in Bamei Madikim discuss the fact that Shlomo HaMelech is late for the consecration of the Mikdash because of his marriage to Bat Paro, and obviously Chazal's negative view of his marriage to Bat Paro, even though it was of a political nature, they saw that as being detrimental to Shlomo HaMelech, as well as leading Shlomo HaMelech later on in life away from Hashem, not necessarily Shlomo himself, but their practices of bringing in Avodah Zarah and all these negative things to the kingdom of Shlomo. And so the Midrashim and the Marshanos of here also associate Bat Paro with the drinking of the wine and the causing of these problems, meaning that his desires or his lusts after these types of things cause him problems. And then it would make sense also why it's found here by the Ben Sorer or Moreh, which is that these are items that people are drawn after. And if you don't control those desires, you don't control those addictions, then it's going to lead the person down the wrong path, including a person like Shlomo HaMelech. And therefore he needs his mother to tell him, get out of this. Don't act this way. Don't get caught up in this. Just like the Ben Sorer Moreh is going down a path that is going to be difficult. And if he doesn't listen to his parents and pull out, we need to do something to stop this type of behavior or this continuum that he's on. All right, so now the Gemara quotes from the Mishnah, Abba B'churat Mitzvah. If he's involved in a chabura mitzvah, then it does not qualify for ben sorer moreh. Amar Rabbi Abahu, einu chayav et shuchal b'chabura shekula srikin. He only is chayav if he eats with a party of individuals who are all empty. Meaning that people who are low lives, group of individuals are only going to lead him down a bad path. Because these are the type of people that continue to drink and eat and do all these bad things. So if he's involved with them, he's going to continue this type of practice because now he has a chabura. Now he has a group of individuals that are doing it. It helps him socially to continue on this path. Our Mishnah says, if he eats in a chabura that's together for a mitzvah, then he's not a ben sorer moreh. Time of the mitzvah. Halav mitzvah, comes to love kula svikim. It sounds from there that what saves him is that it's a chaburat mitzvah. But if it wasn't a chaburat mitzvah, he'd be culpable, even though it wasn't a bunch of lowlives that he was eating with. Hakamashwan, Davakab Dukula Srikin. No, the Mishnah is teaching you that even if they're all lowlives, came to mitzvah kasik lo mimshach. If it's he's doing it for a mitzvah, meaning there's a positive quality to that which he's doing, then he will not be drawn after it, meaning that he won't continue down that path. The fact that he is doing it in a constructive setting already shows you that that's not what he's after. He's not after the alcohol, he's not being drawn after the meat and wine, and he will continue down that path because he's making sure to do it only in a constructive sense. And says it's in a chaburat mitzvah, even though it's with a bunch of lowlives, still the fact that he does it in that context shows us that he's not going down that path of negativity or that path of being drawn after it. It's only because it's a mitzvah that he is engaging in this activity. Achal b'ibar achodesh. If he ate in the group that is eating because of the month, then also again, the memra, the basar v'yayin masku, that they bring meat and wine up to this meal. Batanya, enolim la ela bepat dagan v'kitnit bilvad. That the only thing they bring up to this sudar, this feast, is wheat bread and kitnit and some legumes. Hakamash malan. So what is that teaching to us, our Mishnah? Avgav de enolim la ela pat v'kitnit. That even though normally all that's brought up there is some bread and legumes, and he brought the whole party, he brought meat and wine into this, which is normally not the regular fare for this type of party. And even so, he ate that, came into mitzvah kasik lo mamshich. Since he's involved, again, in a constructive activity, he's not going to be drawn down that path. In order to publicize this matter, they would have no less than 10 people that participated in this su'udah. This is what we quoted from the Braita before. You only bring up wheat bread and legumes to there. Or iburo. And you only go up there on the night of the ibur. And you can't go up there during the day, only at night. We have a Braita that says the opposite, that you don't go up at night, only during the day. Like Rabbi Chiya explained to his children, Achrifu ulo, go early and go up. Achrifu puko, and go up early and leave. So people will notice, people will take heed of what is happening over here. So I'm going to explain it according to Rashi. Rashi says here, or iburo means the night of the 31st. Which is that if you are Mekadesh the Chodesh, actively, the Beit Din is Mekadesh the Chodesh, then you have a 29-day month in the previous month, and then Rosh Chodesh would be on the 30th day. In an instance where you don't do that, automatically the 31st day is going to be Rosh Chodesh. You have a 30-day month, and automatically the 31st day will be Rosh Chodesh. And then we saw before in Machloki whether you needed Kiddush Beit Din in that instance. Is that Kiddush B'Kaima Min HaShamayim? It's automatic Min HaShamayim that that has to be the next day of Rosh Chodesh, so therefore you don't need the Kiddush Beit Din. Or do you still need the Kiddush Beit Din in that case? So Rashi suggests that Ori Iburo means the night after the one that could be the Ibur. And it says, Rashi explains over here, Iburo is Yom Shloshim, the 30th day, Shenasemi Menu Chodesh Hayotzei Mi'ubar. It's the day that makes the previous month into a leap month or into an extended month. So that's the day of the 30th. Or Yom Iburo, Motzei. Afterwards, Mosei Shloshim, the night after the 30th day, Todia Shibrua. And the point of this is to tell people that they made the month into a 30-day month. So the party happens after the 30th day has passed already. The 30th day could either have been Rosh Chodesh or the last day of the previous month. We made it into the last day of the previous month. Ori Buro means the night of Rosh Chodesh now. It's the 31st day. At nighttime, that'd already be Rosh Chodesh automatically because it's the 31st day. So Rashi says the party is that night of Rosh Chodesh, and it's to indicate to people that they made it into a leap month, they made it into a 30-day month. How do they do that? They go into this party mode. Do they gain together, 10 people together? And the way that we're describing the Gemara is that they go in right before sunset. So at the time when everybody's coming back from work, everybody's going to their houses, they gather together, these 10 people, and go to start the feast. And then in the morning, they get up early in order to go out when everybody else is going out. If they just slept in later, they stayed there late, then nobody would know what was going on. The idea is to publicize the matter. So 10 people getting together to celebrate and make a ruckus based on this will then notify people that something happened. What's that happened? Today is Rosh Chodesh and not yesterday, and that's how it's a leap month. That's how Rashi reads the Gemara over here. Obviously, Ori Buro is a ambiguous term because it doesn't tell you what Ibur is and it doesn't tell you where the Or is. So there are other Rishonim that believe Or Iburo means the day that would have, that could be Rosh Chodesh or could be the 30th. Or Iburo is the night before, which means that it is after the 29th day, that night, which would be the 30th, the night of the 30th, is Or Iburo. And the party was conducted when they were Mekadesh the Chodesh. Because everybody would assume automatically it's a longer month unless Beit Din accelerates it by making Mekadesh the Chodesh. And this was a party to demonstrate the Kiddush HaChodesh. So it was done on the night of the 30th, not the night of the 31st. So that's the other way to read the Gemara. And then obviously you would have alternate explanation for the going in and going out also, which is that how would they know? I mean that they're going in the night before the 30th, then that's a problem because how do they know that they were Mekadesh the Chodesh? The Chodesh is only Mekudash the following day. So that presents an issue. So then there are those who want to suggest that the Ori Buro is the same night that Rashi says, but it's celebrating the Kiddush HaChodesh. It's celebrating the fact that Beit Din the previous day was Mekadesh the Chodesh. Those are different permutations of what you could read here, but the idea being the same, which is this is a way to inform people about the Rosh Chodesh, whether they're informing them that it was a 29-day month, or for informing them that it was a 30-day month. There's a way for people to know about the information so that it would get disseminated amongst people so people know how to date contracts, know when Yom Tov is going to fall, all these things, that information that you want disseminated. Now, the point is that this individual who participates in this is considered to be a part of a mitzvah. So even though he brings the wrong food, he brings the meat and wine, which is not appropriate,
The reason we don't want that is we don't want them getting drunk. We don't want them getting pulled into their suda. The purpose here is to publicize. So we want them to make noise, but we want them to get up early. We want them to be out there early. If they drink wine and they're eating meat, they're going to sleep in the morning. It's not going to help us. So that's why we don't want them to have meat and wine, because it wouldn't generate the publicity that we want because of that, or because people are going to want to come and join in because of the meat and wine and not because of the Kiddush HaKodesh aspect of it. Here it's done for a mitzvah. It's not done because it's a party. And so how do we separate between that? We don't serve the party foods. We serve basic foods, but we encourage people to come. And so then they brought them together. Here it makes it sound like that they're not gathering together to discuss whether to be Mekadesh the Chodesh. This is post that fact, or knowing that information and trying to disseminate the information. Achal Meister Sheni B'Yushalayim, Kevin Techi Orcheu Ka'achilei Lo Mimshich. This is what you were suggesting. Since this is the normal way to eat it, normal way to consume this item, that's not considered to be addicted or someone is caught up in this. He's acting in a manner, first of all, that it's out in public. He drinks in public, and he drinks in a way that most people would drink, which is that when they're engaged in the mitzvah of bringing Maaseh Sheni to Yerushalayim, they would drink wine of Maaseh Sheni. The fact that he's drinking wine shouldn't be seen as an oddity or seen as an outlier. That's a normal type of behavior, and that can't be considered ben sorer umoreh, because he's not doing something that is not acceptable societally. Achal nevelo trefot shkatzim remasim. So as Rashi notes over here, stam shkatzim hainu ofot meim. Whenever the term shkatzim are used, that references to non-kosher birds or non-kosher flying things. Remasim hain shratzim. Those are the creepy crawly, the bugs and things that you think of. Those are the remasim. Amar Rava, achal basar of eno nase ben sorer umoreh. If he eats chicken, poultry, that does not make him into a ben sorer umoreh. Vanantnan, doesn't our mission say, achal nevelot trefot shkatzim v'remasim eno nase ben sorer umoreh, that he doesn't become a ben sorer umoreh in that case? Ha? Torim nase ben sorer umoreh. Sounds like the only way it was non-kosher food, does he not become a ben sorer umoreh? If it's kosher food, he would be a ben sorer umoreh. And that would indicate that even chicken would qualify. It says, kitznan nami matnitan lashlim. Our mission is speaking about lashlim, which means to make up the quantity that you need. He's eating basar, he's eating meat, but he doesn't have a full tarti mara's worth of basar, so he's mashlim that with other items. If he's mashlim that with these non-kosher items, then it doesn't work because they are non-kosher items. I'm going to see in a second in the Gemara that a ben sorer umoreh is eno shomei bekoleinu. He doesn't listen to our voices. But as an individual who doesn't listen to God's voice either, then it's not a problem of the authority of his parents. It's a problem that this person is not listening to any authority whatsoever. So it's not particular about his relationship with his parents. It's particular to the individual himself. And so given that, if he is mashlim it with the non-kosher items, that means that he's not going to be chayav, because that's indicative of someone who lacks the discipline of listening to anyone. And so therefore he's not a zolel v'soveh. But hatorim, if he's mashlim with chicken or kosher food, then he would be culpable. But if the only meat he's consuming is chicken, that would not generate that. Again, it's not indicative of being drawn after something. The person who is addicted, who's gluttonous and just wants the meat, he eats meat. Chicken won't do it for him. It's not the type of item or the type of food that draws a person in. Basar, real meat, is the thing that draws a person in, is the thing that becomes addictive or what makes a person gluttonous and drawn after it. Now the Gemara continues and says, if a dvar shu mitzvah, a dvar shu aveira. It's a dvar mitzvah, a dvar aveira, again, it doesn't count. Dvar mitzvah, tanchumei avelim. If he's going to comfort the mourners, and he drinks with the mourners, again, which was the practice there, that's not considered to be a ben sorer umoreh. Again, he's drinking in the context of where people normally would drink, so it's not considered to be an outlying behavior. And Rashi says, the afagav de dekanta b'rabbonim b'almu, even though it's not a mitzvah in the Torah, it's just a tekanat of the Rabbanan, that is enough to tell you that he is not considered ben sorer umoreh. For a mitzvah already, you told us that in the ratio of the Mishnah. So what's new about this is telling you that even a mitzvah derabbanan or a takanat derabbanan is enough to say that he's not considered to be a ben sorer umoreh. Because otherwise we would have thought that the chaburat mitzvah, the ratio, is like when the kohanim are eating basar or korban ha-pesach, meaning the meat that is eaten for the purposes of a mitzvah. I wouldn't have thought that takanat chachamim, mitzvah derabbanan, would qualify. That's what it's teaching me over here. Dvar avira, tanit zibor, falls out, like always, Daf Yomi. is appropriate. That, what does it mean that he eats in an inappropriate time to Varavera? Is on a Tanit Sibur, on a day that where everybody else is fasting, he's eating his meat and drinking his wine. The time am I? Why is that? Amakra, enenu shomea bikolenu. Bikolenu, below bikolo shomakom. Doesn't listen to our voice, but lo bikolo shomakom, not meaning that he doesn't listen to God either. So the question here is, what is the problem here? Is the problem in the parent-child relationship, which is that the child does not take instructions from his parents, he does not listen to his parents. So therefore the problem is in his acceptance of parental authority, then that's a problem of Ben Sorero Moreh. If his problem is that he doesn't accept any authority whatsoever, then he's not a Ben Sorero Moreh. He's a problematic person. He is an individual who's going to get himself in a lot of trouble, but he's not as specific to the parent-child relationship. And therefore, baking him into a Ben Sorero Moreh is not the answer here, because this is a person who has serious issues with authority in general. And so it has to be addressed in a different way than rather just simply the problem of not listening to parents, which is going to lead him down a path of difficulty. In general, I would assume that a lot of this is Gzera to Katuv, because like you point out, this person is even more dangerous. He doesn't listen to God and listen to parents. Then the person is probably more likely has no morals, no ethics, and nothing that will stop him from doing anything because he doesn't answer to anybody. So that person is even more dangerous. So why isn't he considered Ben Sorero Moreh? Ben Sorero Moreh is a very particular formula and protocol, and he doesn't match that because his behavior is not specifically geared towards his parents. He's not the rebellious child. He is rebellious, period. So that doesn't qualify as a Ben Sorero Moreh. Aval achal, kom achal v'lo achal basar, shetako mashkel v'shete yayin, aval kom achal, kom achal v'lo achal basar, letu yedveila ki ilit. That comes to include these pressed figs that come from this specific location. And as Rashi notes over here, they are intoxicating. They are so good or so special that they are intoxicating. And you would think there that that is addictive in nature and should be the same as basar or eating meat. Mishnah comes to tell you that's not the case. They're drinking honey and milk. Again, minyan adioma. Milk and honey, we know, are used many times in Tanakh. For instance, by the case of Sisra, when he's running away from Barak and gets caught by Yael, she gives him the warm milk and that draws him into a slumber or a sleep. And it has intoxicating qualities. The honey and the milk have those intoxicating qualities. The Tanya, Achal Dveila Kilit, Vishata Dvash Vichalav, and Ichnas the Mikdash. We have a Kohen who eats these items, which are intoxicating in nature, and then goes into the Mikdash to do avoda. Chayav. He is in violation of Yayim Mishachar Al Shtesht. That you're not allowed to be intoxicated when you do the avoda. So even though the Torah specifies Yayin v'sheichar, over here, these intoxicating items are subsumed under that category of intoxication. There are dissenting opinions there in the Gemara that, number one, he doesn't get malkot for this. It's only subsumed under the lav, whether that's an asmachta or whether that's only midrabanan. But he definitely doesn't get malkot. And there are other views that think that it's not qualified at all, and he's not chayav at all. But at least bringing this shows you that these items have a intoxicating nature to them. So you would think, just like they have an intoxicating nature and the Kohen can be chayav for them, so do a Ben Sorero Moreh who gets involved in these items is going to be drawn after them. The answer is that they're not mamshich. They don't draw, they're not addictive in quality like other items like wine and meat. And therefore they don't qualify. He eats any item but not meat, drinks any drink but not wine. Till he eats meat, drinks wine, shenemar, zolel, visoveh. Even though there's no proof of this, zeche le davar. There is a hint at this in the psukim, shenemar, this is the pasuk that we brought in the Mishnah. Alti bisoveh ayayin, bisolele basar lamo. Don't be among those that are imbibing wine and that are gluttonously eating meat. Ve'omer. And then it says in Mishle as well, ki soveh bisolel yivaresh. The drunkard and the glutton will be impoverished. Ukraim talbish numa, and he will be clothed in rags. The one who is always drowsy, from the word nam, which means to fall asleep or be drowsy. Rashi reads it slightly differently as part of this drash over here. Rashi says ukraim talbish numa, numa shadam mitkareba, that a person that is drawn after these items, talbish kraim, his clothes will be in tatters. Sov kol balhanot avodidei aniyut. Anybody who is noma here is drawn after or pulled into these items. Anybody who follows their hana'ot, their desires, and follows their physical goof, they will end up in tatters. That's what Rashi suggests over here. Again, the pasuk speaks for itself that getting involved or drawn down this path is impoverishing and leaves the person a wreck. So that's a additional pasuk that we bring over here, because you see sovev is solel, which is actually the pasuk right afterwards, which is al tiyev sovev yain b'zoleis basar lamo. And then it says, ki sovev is solel yivaresh, ukraim talbish numa. Again, the results are what we would expect from the one who drinks wine and eats basar. So sovev is solel has this impact, and that's the idea that the ben sorer more is nidon hashem sofo, which is that this is the end game for this individual. Now, Amar Rabbi Zeira kol yashen bebeit midrash. Anybody who sleeps in the beit midrash, Torato naseh lo kraim kraim. And his Torah is piecemeal. Shenema ukraim talbish numa. Numa here from the word nam, to fall asleep, to doze off. So the one who dozes off only gets piecemeal of what's being said. So especially in an era where everything's Torah Shabbal Pen, you need to memorize things. So you fall asleep, you're getting little tidbits or bites of what's being said, and therefore you don't have a full picture of what's happening, or you don't remember the full gears of what it is. So one who's dozing off is going to get a torn or staggered or stuttered type of learning. All right, so we're going to stop here, but a mission on the top of Ayin Aleph, Umad Aleph.